No sound.
Our Gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, John 15, 9 to 17. It's on page 1069, if you'd like to follow me if you want. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than they lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father, who will give whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love one another. I'm sure that's a passage you've heard many times before, but I wanted to just digress for a little moment. And I know when I look around, there's older people that are going to know what I'm talking about, and there's some young people who probably won't know, and they'll be saying, what on earth did they do when she was young? But we used to have little books that we called autograph books. And anybody remember an autograph book? And the young people are not saying anything, but the old people can remember. And when I was in primary school, I had an autograph book, like all the other little girls, and it was all full of things that little girls like to do. Somebody would scribble right in the very bottom corner something like "by hook or by crook, I'm the last in this book." I'm missing Flo, because as soon as I started to say that Flo knew them all at the early service, but that was the sort of thing that went in. Then I grew a little bit older, and of course I was supposed to be a young lady, so I had a new autograph. One that had more advice and things in it than silly sort of sayings. This is what my mother wrote in it just before she gave it to me. And this is what I found after she passed away and I had to go and clean her things out. And if you can't read it, because it's a little bit hard up there, I'll read it out. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than the known way." It might be something that you've heard before. On the top of it, it says the King's Quotation, 1940. And it was actually his Christmas speech in 1939. But we were just getting into the war. Everything was unknown. And this was the King's advice: put your hand into the hand of God. And that's something that stuck by me very closely. There was something else that was in that little book too, and I haven't copied it, but it was something from my aunt saying, "True friends are like diamonds, precious and rare. False ones like autumn leaves, found everywhere." And I'm sure even if you didn't have a little autograph book, I'm sure you've heard that sort of saying about true friends are really priceless. The Bible gives us lots of good advice too, and you'll find a lot of these things do come from the Bible. People have forgotten where they come from, but they do come from the Bible. But let's go through our Gospel reading and have a look at what John says about friends. has loved me, so have I loved you. So he's setting the scene really, telling us that all of this has come from God, God the Father. God the Father loved Jesus. Jesus is loving us and inviting us into that lovely, close-knit family. Now, remain in my love. But it's a bit of an if. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So Jesus is saying, if you're going to love me, you have to do what I say. I did that for my Father, and you will need to do it for me. So it's a model of obedience that he's showing us there. I have told you this so that your joy may be, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. You know, if your joy is full and you're a nice, happy person, you've got that joy of the Lord inside you, your life is full of meaning and purpose. You're doing what God has asked you to do. It gives you great meaning, it gives you great purpose, but it also gives great joy, and your life is full. It's a lovely way to be. People outside often look at us and think, they're a grumpy lot. The Bible's full of don't do this and don't do that. We know it's not. We know when we're living in love with God and with Jesus and we're following what he's asked us to do, our joy will be complete. But again we get, my commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. This part of the story comes towards the end of John's Gospel. There's a whole long discourse that goes from the previous chapter, right through chapter 15, right through chapter 16. And this is right in the middle. And Jesus is saying to them, I'm really trying to tell you that I'm going to have to lay down my life for you. Often we hear that sentence on Anzac Day. Jesus at this time is trying to get through to the disciples that he's going to die. He's going to have to lay down his life for them. You might think they were a little bit thick. They didn't pick it up. It wasn't the first reference he'd made. But I wonder if we would have picked it up if we'd been there. Do you think the disciples were a bit like us? I think they were. You are my friends if you do what I command. How many times have we had that in this little short little passage? I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He's continually telling them about drawing them into God's love. This is an interesting bit. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And then at the end, this is my commandment, love each other. You know, the gospel writer John wrote very differently from the other gospel writers. When we look at the Gospel of Matthew, we find all about the Sermon on the Mount, telling us all the people that will be blessed, the people that won't be blessed. In other words, do this, don't do that. John doesn't say any of that. He assumes that we will do the right thing because we love God and we listen to God. The same with the Ten Commandments. They're all rules and regulations. But if you love God, you're not going to break those Ten Commandments. That's just going to come from inside of you. You're not going to go out and kill somebody if you love them. You're not going to hurt them or steal from them or do any of those things. So really the whole thing is summed up in love everybody. then you'll be living the way that God wants us to live. It's a little bit hard in our community, isn't it, to go out and show your love to a lot of people? We've really gone a long way from the way that we should be going. We had another reading as well today at the early service, and this one was from Acts, and I'm not going to read it out to you, but it ties in quite well with this one, as the readings usually do. Last week, our focus scripture here was about Philip and the Ethiopian. We talked about going out and helping people and bringing people into church. From that story, there's a couple of other stories, and the scene changes quite dramatically to Peter being at Caesarea down on the coast. And Peter's having a bit of a rest in the middle of the day, a bit of a siesta, and he has a vision. I'm sure you've heard this one before too. Something like a sheet drops down and it's full of all the animals that God has made. The Jews were very strict in the animals that they would eat, and most of them they wouldn't. They thought they were unclean. But in the vision, all of the animals are in the sheet together. And a voice says to Peter, "Peter, get up, kill and eat." Peter's a bit horrified. "No, Lord, I couldn't do that. Some of those are in the Jewish laws that you don't eat those animals. I couldn't possibly do that." And then God says to him, "What I have made clean. Don't call it unclean." So if you're just reading through, you'll come across that story and you think, yes, that's a story about food and what to eat and what not to eat. But the very next minute, when Peter comes back out of his trance or whatever, when he's having his vision, there's a knock at the door and somebody's asking for him. He goes out to the messenger and the messenger says, "I have come from Cornelius. He would like to see you." Now, Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He was well liked among the people. He'd been thoughtful to the Jewish people. And he must have heard some of their stories. So he sent for Peter. Already, that's the wrong thing. He didn't go into the house of a non-Jewish person. But in he goes, he talks to Cornelius. Cornelius is there with his family and his servants. And Peter's there with a few of the disciples. It doesn't say which ones, but it doesn't matter. And Cornelius starts to say to Peter, Tell me more about this God. And then suddenly, dawns on Peter. God was not only talking about food when he said, "What I've made clean, don't you call unclean." He was talking about people as well. Here was a person, a Roman, wanting to know more about it. Peter's there explaining it, and the Holy Spirit fell on all of those people. Now that was a bit of an eye-opener to the disciples particularly, and they were a bit concerned. They didn't think God worked with non-Jewish people, and here's the Holy Spirit falling upon some Roman people. I wonder if you might think about that for a minute and see if there's some reason you think the disciples would have been a bit astonished. Do you think perhaps they didn't expect God to do something that was a little bit different? Do you think they'd been conditioned by their Jewish teaching that only the Jews were to be saved? Do you think it might have been whatever else? You've got an answer. You think I'm right if you answer. I thought we might have had another option. Maybe they just didn't expect it. But here was God working his way, bringing non-Jewish people in to hear the gospel. This is a bit of a turning point in the gospel, because now the Jewish people and the Gentile people know the story. It was only a little group of Gentile people, just a household, but now they're in. Everybody is a friend of Jesus. Everybody is welcome to come in and receive the good things from God. There's a sentence up on the screen at the moment. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Think about that in relation to Jesus and you. Jesus chose you. Sometimes people haven't ever thought about that. They've just thought, I follow Jesus, so that's it. But Jesus chose us, and he chose us to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. What will last in this world and into the next? The only thing is faith. Telling people about Jesus, getting them to come on board with Jesus. That's the only fruit that's going to last forever. Bringing more and more of those outsiders in with us. It's not an easy task, but Jesus thought we must be able to do it. He's chosen us to do that. Think about the comment about, you are my friends if you do what I command. That's what he's commanding us to do. You know, we often talk about God's grace. We talk a lot about how wonderful God is, how he brings all these people in, he does all these things. But remember, it's not an equal partnership. Jesus is Lord. We have to do what he says. We're not friends in that equal capacity. He still is Lord of the world. He still is asking us to do things. So during the week, I'd like you to think about, I wonder why God chose you. Something that you really could ponder.